What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Fantastic Duo Show. I'm here with my boy, Steve Cardenas. Now, really quickly, before we get started, I'm in a totally different location. I'm doing the show remote, guys. So if you see something different, it's exactly because of that.
I was going to say, why? Yeah, where are you? Why don't you have the brick wall behind you, bro? Come on.
I'm in a new location. But Steve, what's up, man? What's new?
Not much, man. You know, everything's good, man. Welcome to all the Twitch people that are here in the Twitchverse today. Appreciate you guys coming out. We already got some good chatter going already. I think everybody's pretty excited for today's show. So, it's all been pretty good. I just came back from California. Did a little comic book tour over there. Comic book store tour over there. It was pretty good, man. It was nice to get to see the fans a little bit and let them be able to come interact. Of course, there was all the social distancing and everything, which, you know, made it totally safe and everything. But it was still cool. Like, fans got to get that experience of, you know, talking to me live and getting the autographs and stuff like that. So a lot of fun. So we're going to keep that tour going. And this weekend I'll be in Las Vegas at Rogue Toys. I'm going to do all three stores of Rogue Toys and then hop in on Saturday night, fly in to Phoenix and do AZ Collector's Market as well on Sunday. So look for me at both places there, guys. A lot of good stuff, though, man. Couple of quick announcements. I'm not going to be on the show on Thursday. I'll be traveling, so I won't be around, but we've got a really great guest host that's going to join my man Alex over here. We got Mike Rome from the WWE Monday Night Raw fame. He's going to be, he's going to be taking my place, and he's been a guest on our show before. Very cool guy, so it should be pretty crazy for you with you and Mike on there, Alex? I think it should be fun, yeah?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, listen, I'm a WWE fan, as you guys know, and I think it'll be a good way to kind of also introduce the new show that we're working on into the Morphin Grid. So that always works. So you had your tour, and you're also going to Vegas, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I just said. I'm going to Vegas. Yeah, were you listening?
I'm just making sure that everybody, all the
yes,
new people. We just had a whole bunch of new people join on the chat, so I just want to make sure for sure. For anyone who just came in, just letting them know. But yeah, man, so.
Cool. And one last announcement. We're very excited. On Tuesday, this next Tuesday, we're going to have Mr. Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, a.k.a. Tommy the Green Ranger, a.k.a. the White Ranger, a.k.a. the Red Turbo Ranger, Red Zeo Ranger, Black Dino Thunder Ranger. Man, that guy's been like in every episode of Power Rangers. So we're very stoked to have him on our show as well, too. So get ready for that next Tuesday. But you know what, Alex? I tell you, man, I can't take no more. And it ain't no lie. I'm super excited about the next guest that we got coming on right now, man. This is a buddy of mine. We met on the con circuit, man, and we just hit it off, and we've always been really cool. And I'm super honored that we have him on the show with us today. So, ladies and gentlemen, from NSYNC, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Mr. Chris Kirkpatrick. Yay! We're bringing him up. You can't hear it, but there's clapping going on the Twitch feed right now, bud. So everybody's cheering for you. And what's up, brother? How you doing?
What's up, man? I hear you're clapping and you're screaming. That's enough.
Yeah, good enough, right? I'm cheering for you, as always, man. Hey, man, really cool of you to come on here, man. We really appreciate it. And I know you're a super busy guy. And like I said, I appreciate you taking the time, man. But how has it been, like, in the sense of, like, how you dealing with all the COVID? How you and your family? I take it you're in Nashville now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Nashville. I got a kid that'll be 3 in October.
Oh, geez.
So, that's been kind of fun. It's tough telling a little kid that, they can't go to Chuck E. Cheese or Donald's Playground or that type of thing. So, finding ways around or ways to entertain. Because, for a while, even the playgrounds were closed down. And
right.
And slowly opened those back up. But, we keep him entertained here. We get him some random stuff. He's getting into following and watching Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
I keep texting you because, when he was real little, I had him watching it. And if he'd stay looking at it, I was like, oh, he's into it,
Yeah.
And of course, he got into his Toy Story and other things.
Right. Dude, that's how it's so funny because I didn't want to cut you off, but it was like, you'll send me these little memes and then you'd be like, yo, my son is watching you right now.
And it's been probably in the last maybe 3 weeks or so that he's starting to identify Power Rangers.
Right. He's starting to get who the characters are and stuff.
You've seen the one about the ooze.
Oh yeah, the movie. Yeah,
the movie probably 6-7 times now, which is like, and
dude,
and I've got these things where you can go on and I can find all these old school like TV shows and things like that.
Right.
There are like 50 billion Power Ranger things. Like I'll watch one and I could be totally lost. I don't know what's going on. They're shooting like pods and I don't know what's happening, but I'm like, man, y'all have so many shows, huh?
It's true. Yeah. I mean, in the Power Ranger like series, it's been running for 27 years now and there's over 900 episodes, I think. So it's pretty crazy. But isn't it crazy though? Like how even like the young kids now are like, they're discovering all of it because you can see all those old shows on Netflix, you know, all the old Power Ranger episodes, you can see all of them. And like the young kids are discovering it on their own, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, usually a lot of times the parents will introduce them or whatnot, but you know, the parents that were fans when they were kids, you know,
it spans the test of time. You know, it's not just you know, Barney or like these shows that are geared at kids. When Power Rangers, see, cause I found Power Ranger stuff and I don't know if it was, Japanese stuff, but I found stuff going back to like, God, the early 80s.
Yeah, that's the Super Sentai stuff, which is where the Japanese footage comes from for Power Rangers.
Oh, gotcha. All right, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, even the older Power Ranger stuff, it transcends to all through time. And when it came out, you know, you got to remember in the 90s, early 90s, I was still like 20, 21, 22, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I got into it so hardcore because I loved all that. I mean, you can see I love Voltron. I love like...
Man, I was going to say, what is that? I thought it was a Megazord in the background, man. I was like, oh, no, that's Voltron, huh?
This is Voltron.
Oh, yeah. Let's take a look, man.
So this was a gift to... Oh, there goes his leg. This was a gift from a buddy of mine.
Oh, bum.
Crazy because it's all Legos.
Oh, it's all Legos.
It's all Legos. When I built it, you build each individual lion.
Oh, really? And then you put them together.
And then they so you can take them all apart and they transform into the, which is crazy because it's Lego. I thought, actually Fatone got me that.
Oh, did he now?
I think it was at one of the cons or something. He shows up, he goes, hey, come down to my room. I got something for you.
And oh, like, nice.
Hands me this giant box. I'm like, how am I supposed to get that home, bro? I'm thinking that me and my kid are gonna do it. I'm like, you know, my kid's like, probably at the time he was like a year and a half. I'm like, he still isn't, I mean, he's almost three, but he does the Duplos, not the Legos. Legos are still kind of too small for him.
Right. Yeah, for sure. But dude, that's like, dude, that's cool, man. Yeah, because I think back, you know, like if we kind of like, I'm sure people are wondering like maybe kind of how we met. We met through the Comic-Cons. And I remember meeting you and I thought it was cool, you know, cause I was like, I'm definitely a fan for sure. You know, that kind of thing. And so, and we, you know, we had kind of hit it off and that was cool, but then I didn't see you for like a couple of months. Then next thing you know, I see you at another con, but this time you have Joey with you. And then that's how I met both of you guys. And then you were like, hey, you guys were like, hey, we're going to go out and hit a bar and have a couple of drinks. You want to come with? I'm like, hell yeah. I'm like, yes.
Joey and I ever do, by the way.
Yeah. And anyways, man, yeah, and we ended up having a great time, man. That was a lot of fun, dude. So, ever since then, man, yeah, we've always been pretty cool. So that was nice, you know. One of the good things that I like about Comic-Cons is, you know, that people that you might not necessarily get to meet, you know, like your peers in a sense, like you get to kind of, you know, come together in this random weird thing in this random weird city. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of like you're stuck on a cruise ship together, so you may as well make the most of it. And you end up making some good friends, you know what I mean? So
well,
it's kind of
like
cool.
Like they kind of talk about weird, like, I mean, where else do you go that you're like hanging out with like Ralph Macchio and what's
Game of Thrones and Sands of Anarchy and
all these, and everybody usually goes out afterwards or finds a spot to, you know, kind of hang out. And like you're sitting there, you know, the one night when I was with in Tennessee, it was Knoxville.
Oh, Knoxville. Yes. That was the time that we were, were together in Knoxville. Yeah. That was
so
a good one too.
We go out in Knoxville and we met up with, Ralph Macchio and, Billy Zabka.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. From
the Karate Kid, man. My favorite movie, man.
what a great movie.
I know, right? So you were fangirling too, huh?
Oh, big time. Big time. Yeah. Well, Ralph and I have the same agent. So
Okay, gotcha.
I see him a lot at the different things. But Billy, I was just like, dude, it's so cool. And especially with the new Cobra Kai. Man, yes, that thing's awesome. What a difference. Like,
I know, right?
I mean, they flipped it around and now Johnny's like the, you know, the underdog guy that's just getting, you know, beat up all, or just, you know, having all the stuff. And Ralph's got the, well, not Ralph, I guess it's Danny, right?
Yeah, Daniel LaRusso. Yeah. Yeah, dude. I think it's great. What a great spin. What a great way to like to show a continuation of a story that you're familiar with, you know? So I just thought it was brilliant and was long overdue too, in my opinion. So I'm super stoked on that Cobra Kai series.
Yeah, you don't think of, you know, you would think they would try to do what a lot of other shows do and just try to keep that same story going and Daniel still, but it's like, I like the way they flipped it up and, you know, you really empathize for Johnny like the whole time.
Yeah, you do. It is. You kind of start to see his side of the story. Alex, did you watch the Cobra Kai series at all?
You know what? Not yet. I hear you talk about it so much. I got to get on top of that.
Dude, well, first of all, you got to watch the first Karate Kid movie once.
I've watched the Karate Kid movie. Right. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you got
and
that part.
You can watch the second one for fun. But.
Yeah, you can watch the second one. I watched the second one just for the beginning part of it when, you know, like Mr. Miyagi, like, takes the gun out if he punches holes through the windows.
And the music's good in the second one.
Yeah, all right. And but with the Cobra Kai series, it's on YouTube, right? They watch it on YouTube Red or something, right?
Yeah, YouTube Red. That's what it is.
Yeah, if you get the chance, man, watch it. There's like two full seasons. You could totally binge watch it, bro. And then you'll know what the hell we're talking about. You know,
I'm all over it. Trust me.
Attaboy. We've got to convert.
I'm gonna have to get myself back into the Karate Kid mode. You know.
That's cool, man. Good stuff. So, I think, bro, I've known you for, you know, a few years now, and I still don't even really know. Like, I mean, I know this is a story you've probably told a billion times, but like, could you tell us and the fans, like, kind of like, how did it all get started for you? Because you're from Orlando, right? Are you from there originally? Okay.
Yeah. Like, so I moved to Orlando. I'm a lot older than I look. I'm like 62, but I'm not quite 62, but I'm old. But I moved to Orlando in 1990 and started school down there.
Okay.
And while I was in school, I was doing all these quartets and, you know, I always loved just, you know, 4 or 5 part harmony stuff. So when I was in high school, I was doing it. So when I moved to Orlando, I ended up falling into the choir somehow and met a couple guys. There was only like a couple guys in the choir. We went on a trip and it was the four of us. And I was like, dude, we've got 4 parts here. Let's do the parts. So, you know, me and these other guys would start doing all the parts. And I was like, start playing coffee shops and all this stuff. And just started building and building. One of the guys that was in my quartet ended up leaving the quartet and he went and joined up with Lou and he met Lou. And Lou, I guess he tried out and got into the Backstreet Boys. So,
right, okay.
Yeah, so he was in the Backstreet Boys. And then I think he had a problem with one of the producers or something like that. I'm not sure the exact, I don't want to speak for him, but
yeah, right.
I just know that he ended up leaving that group and then called me up and said, hey, do you still have those? Are you still doing the quartet thing? Because I know this guy, Lou, that's looking for another band and he'd be interested. So, you know, he basically made the intro to Lou. And then this guy, Charlie, that made the intro, went off and he was actually a golfer too. So he went off to teach golf in Club Med. So kind of left me in Orlando. And that's when I just started, you know, putting guys together. I had different groups, guys would quit. And it's funny, I do a Monday night, I don't know what you call it. It's like a trivia thing, but you know, basically on my Instagram, it's mostly for the fans and mostly to keep people entertained. And I'll have, you know, guests on and
mm-hmm.
We've only done music so far. Cause that's why you haven't gotten a call from me yet, but.
Oh, okay.
Just the music guys, at least so far. And, right.
Well, when you're ready to change it over to pop culture stuff, man,
I'll get Mr. Belding. We'll have a whole little, 90s throwback.
Nice, dude. That sounds great, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So then basically, guys would quit and come back. And what I was going to say was one of the guys I had on when I did the show last night was a dear friend of mine, Brody, who was in this band called C Note. But he was actually in my band when I'd met Lou. I brought him and Raul from Sino into my band. And then, you know, over time and over, you know, all this energy put into it and wasn't going anywhere, they would drop out until finally, you know, I called around and found Justin, and Justin brought in JC, and me, Justin, and JC were out, you know, talking about what we were going to do with the group and everything. And we bumped into Joey randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew Joey from the Mickey Mouse Club, and I knew Joey from working at Universal Studios.
Right. Okay.
So we brought Joey in, and we were a band for about, I want to say about a year and a half, maybe.
Oh, okay.
And we had another kid in the band named Jason. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, that's how we got the name NSYNC, because Justin's mom was doing all this weird word play and everything. And she's like, when Jason was in the band, they said, she said, the last letter of all of your first names spells NSYNC. So we were like, all right, we'll go with that. That works. But then Jason quit. So then we were only NSYNC, which was not a working title. And then about a year and a half later, we found Lance and did a show 3 weeks later. About maybe 2 months after that, a German record label wanted to sign us. We went to Germany, and then we came to the States.
Oh, wow, dude. See, I had no idea about all that. I didn't realize that you guys were, like, actually, like, together, like, that long and, like, out right. there trying to, like, make it work before you even got signed to, like, an out-of-country label.
The funny thing about all those things is, you know, they always talk about overnight success stories, and they're never overnight success stories.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of work. I mean, we were together for about a year and a half, maybe pushing 2 years before we even got that first deal. And that first deal was Germany. So right. We were over in Germany, you know, doing shows. We had no idea what anybody was saying on the show, but I tell you, the German fans were loyal. And even to this day, they are amazing. And we hadn't been back there and I probably haven't been there in 20 years or so. And I definitely miss it and feel bad that they were the ones that really started us. But once it right. took off in the States, it just took off.
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, yeah, you gotta, you know, serve the demand, you know? But yeah, that's crazy, man. See, this is like the stuff I didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, so you know, kind of in this quartet, you had, obviously, I guess you had aspirations to become, I don't know if you had aspirations necessarily to become like a pop group or a pop star or anything, or I don't know if that was you were hoping that would be in the cards for you, or if you were just, you know, wanted some kind of a career in music. I mean, what was your motivation?
I was a songwriter.
Oh, like, okay.
I was playing shows, just random, you know, at little coffee shops or whatever I could get. And
right.
I think I made one check doing that for like $75. And I thought I was going to be in there.
And you're like, yes, finally we can retire.
Yeah. No worries for the rest of my life. But yeah, it's weird now, you know, that how boy bands and stuff just get a bad stigma to them, that it's not, you know, I think basically is because, you know, boy bands are five young guys that get up there. So who's going to be their fan base? Girls, you know, and, you know, right. growing up, it was the New Kids with me.
Yeah.
And I was mm-hmm. like, the New Kids on the Block, whatever, you know, I'm not going to be in, you know, one right. of those bands or something like that. And
yeah,
lo and behold, I'm in one just like them.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, I mean, first of all, whatever, there's always going to be haters or whatnot, you know, but you guys develop this thing. And then, of course, everything sort of like goes in a cycle, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you hit this wave and then it kind of, you know, kind of goes down, but then it's cyclical. It comes back around again. And dude, like everybody now, like, you know, even like my Power Ranger buddies, man, when we're out at like other conventions and stuff and we hang out over the after parties or whatever, and they got lip sync battles, what do? They're always up there like doing that, yeah. I'm doing it, you know. So I mean, it's like this is what everybody loves, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like it's the same thing with Power Rangers too, you know. It's like, oh, the nostalgia comes back, and that's what you want, you know. And
that's funny you just said that, because I totally forgot what we had when we filmed our very, very first music video. It was for I Want You Back, and it was a European version of it. So the one that we have in the States, we had to refilm because it was basically like you exactly where you are right now in front of a green screen.
Right.
You know, and they just put up all this space stuff and everything like that. And while we were there filming it, Danny Wood came with one of the original Power Rangers, and I don't remember his name, but he was definitely one of the originals, and we were freaking out.
And where was this? That where was this at?
In Orlando.
It was in Orlando. Oh, okay, okay. So yeah, I mean, this is probably was this. What do you remember? What year this was? Was it like 94?
This would have been, yeah, probably 94, no, 95 probably.
Oh, 95. You know what? What was probably happening was we were probably doing the tour of the Power Ranger movie at that time, because that came out in 95. And if we were in other cities like that, like if we were in
Zach Orlando. Taylor.
Oh, that's Zach. It. Oh, the Black Ranger. The yep. Black Ranger. Okay, cool. So yeah, that actually was probably 93 or 94, because around 94 is when he left the show and a whole new crop came in, not a new crop, but a three new people, including myself, came in to take some places of some of the original group. So yeah, it must have been like around 93 or maybe early 94 that
probably happened. 94, I think it was.
Yeah, 90. Okay. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm sure everybody's freaking out. Everybody loves the Black Ranger, man. Dude,
we
and it's
just
crazy.
Like, he's at our freaking video shoot. This is as good as it gets. Chris got a check for $75 playing music, and now with the Black Ranger, this is awesome.
So cool, man. Yeah, he's actually quite a good dancer himself too. He's like world class, man.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. He's. I mean, that's like one of his things. Like, on the show, he had what he called hip hop keto. That was his moves. You know, for the nice. And I mean, he's a phenomenal dancer, and even like world class salsa dancer, like. I mean, he's phenomenal. You could even
Why has
Google.
He been on Dancing with the Stars?
I have no idea, man. I think maybe because he's too good, man. Maybe they won't let him on.
Like, is that why they had Joey and Lance on then?
I have no idea, man. I don't know, but I will say this: if you would Google type, you know, Walter Jones salsa champion, just Google that. Walter Jones is his real name, the Black Ranger. Walter Jones, salsa champion. If you just Google, I mean, not Google, but YouTube that and watch his performance, you are going to like be like, wow, like that is crazy what this kid can do. So anyway.
Like capoeira type stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, but salsa though. It's a salsa. Yeah. It was a salsa routine, but he did flips in it and like all kind of crazy acrobatics and stuff. It was insane. So he's really good, and I always enjoy watching him dance. But sorry, we went off on a big tangent. What were we talking about?
We always go off on tangents.
Yeah, I know, right?
That was just the first time we shot that video. I just remembered.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So your first introduction to Rangers, and you know, after you'd seen them on TV, yeah. Well, that was for me too. You know, Alex will tell you, because we talk about this a lot. You know, but I used to watch the show. I was familiar with it, and I used to kind of watch them do their fight scenes and stuff. And I was like, kind of just in joking, man. Like, you know, I could do that. You know what I mean? Like, never knowing that I'd actually get the chance, because you know. I didn't really have the aspirations. I just heard about an audition and went to it, kind of thing. So it just sort of like fell into my lap. But that was crazy. So yeah, man, that's good. Good stuff. So like before, you were talking about, like you were saying, you had your show last night. That is that the Pop Syndicate? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, it's just basically a pop trivia thing. And, you know, like,
okay, cool.
I just go on. I started it like the first week that probably maybe in March.
Okay, you know, and now that's Instagram Live, right? You're doing that on IG Live?
Yeah, it's on my Instagram Live.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And I was just trying to do something, because, you know, it's really hard on, you know, it's hard on everybody. You know, I'm not going to play woe is me, but it's hard on everybody. But, you know, the music business, you know, they're talking about shows now starting in 2022.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Which is weird to even say the date 2022.
I know. It feels like future, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and
like,
all these, you know, there's so many gigs that, you know, I still go out and play and, you know, host shows and everything, but that'll all be, you know, this. You know, it'll be on basically on video now. It's not, you can't gather, you know, I mean, even here when they have in Nashville, they'll reopen the bars for a minute, but when they open the bars, they're like, but no live music and no dancing. Like, it sounds like something out of Footloose or something, where it's like, we'll open the bar, but no dancing. If we see anybody dancing, you know, you're gone. And it's just kind of, you know, we're all in, obviously, in a state of what next, and trying to scrap and see, you know, what we can do. But as a musician, we still can make music, you know. So
right. Sure.
We've got that going for us.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, and I guess, you know, like I said, I mean, that's the whole reason I started this podcast too, was just a way to kind of keep staying connected with the fans, you know what I mean? Because we have to keep ourselves relevant too, you know. You know, and you know, the fans, you know, they're all going through the same thing too. So any way we can reach out to them and they can reach out with us and keep some kind of connection going is good. You know what I mean? At least that's how I feel. Why I started it with Alex here. I know Alex, poor Alex, man, we've left him like out of the whole conversation, man. we had a lot of catching up to do. But I know, Alex has little ones, and, I know that, his little one probably watches the Fairly Odd Parents, and I know he's wanting to ask you about that, and so maybe I'll turn that over to him, and maybe you can kind of get into the realm of how you started making the transition from, you know, doing like the music and stuff, and how you got into like all your voiceover stuff as well too. So take it away, Alex, if you want to ask him.
Sure, Chris. So, like, you know, you obviously had major success in all of the music stuff that you've done in the past, and you were like, you know, you guys were it, like, just like the Power Rangers. I think you guys went hand in hand, a worldwide phenomenon. I'm pretty sure to transition from that big of a stage, right, and calm things down a little bit and do the voiceovers, how did you happen to just like make that happen, that transition over to, okay, now I'm just going to be behind a microphone in a studio, and you know, I'm no longer going to be out in front of the world, basically?
Well, so how that actually came about was, you know, we do a lot of, you know, you got to remember at the time, late 90s, Cartoon Network was doing like Cow and Chicken, Powerpuff Girls, Johnny Bravo. I'm a nerd when it comes to like cartoons, 70s, 80s TV shows, and bad sci-fi movies. Like that's why Power Rangers to me, you know, and no disrespect,
it's not right in your wheelhouse.
I was like, this is exactly, you know, what I love, because obviously Voltron is one of my favorites. But we were meeting with some Cartoon Network people, and there was some Nickelodeon people, and the Nickelodeon people were like, you know, we sat in a room, and basically we were at a hotel in LA somewhere, and I went into like the conference room with a couple of them, and I was just like spitting all my knowledge. I was just like, you know, talking about all these shows and, you know, what a diehard, you know, just cartoon, old school,
right,
you know, weird sci-fi, anything type show I am. And while we were talking about it, they're like, man, you know your stuff when it comes to this stuff. And they're like, well, we're starting this new cartoon, and they're calling it the Fairly Odd Parents. And, you know, they explain the concept and everything. And they're like, and would you be interested in like being a voice on it and come in and basically as yourself, you know, do this whole pop kind of thing idea? And I was like, you mean like Jet Screamer? And they were like, yeah, exactly like Jet Screamer. And I don't know if you know, but Jet Screamer was from the Jetsons. He was this, he was like the rock guy that would come out, Judy, 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 Judy. And he played played love songs. I think he might've been on like maybe two episodes of the Jetsons or something. So I was like,
yeah, that's super esoteric right there, bud.
Yeah. So I was, are you kidding me? I'm like, this is exactly what I would love to do. So it wasn't really a transition, because we were still traveling, touring, sure, mm-hmm, you know, doing everything. It just became another side project that I did, and, you know, something that, first of all, I'd never really acted before. And second of all, you know, voice acting is really difficult. Steve, I'm sure, have you done any voice acting?
Even for our show, I mean, remember, a lot of it was helmeted, so we had to go in and do all that ADR. We did hours and hours of ADR every single week for every episode.
So, you know, when it's going on and you're not in it, you're sitting in a vocal booth basically and trying to act, you know, you have to be an actor and act this scene out. It was really difficult because Gray, do you know Gray, Gray DeLuise or Gray? She played Nikki or Vicky on the Fairly Odd Parents show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I did a Comic-Con, last year, I don't remember where it was. And that's the first time I'd met her.
So even though you guys were in all the episodes together, all these episodes, because everything's all recorded separately.
Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and now I follow her and she is absolutely amazing. Like she's hilarious. She's beautiful. she's the whole package. She's amazing. But yeah, so it's, you know, you're acting and trying to do this. And I did one. And then another thing I didn't really understand was after I recorded it, you know, I was like, hey, is it out yet? Like a year later, I'm like, hey, is it out yet? And they're like, no, it's probably won't be out till next year. And I'm like, that was a year ago.
Right.
It took a long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with animating, I'm sure it probably takes even longer. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. And I didn't even know how that process went. Like, I was like, do you draw it? And then I act it out. And they're like, no, you say it and we draw it. So it was really, you know, it was an amazing, amazing experience. After I did that, they started going, well, we've got another episode for you and another episode, another episode. So I was in a bunch of the episodes and, you know, we got to do music on it and there's songs and, you know, funny thing, we're talking about like these cons and stuff. It still is hilarious that like I see these kids and, you know, 20 years ago, those kids were the ones that were screaming and going crazy. And now they come with their moms. The moms are going, hey, I want you to take a picture. And the kids are freaking like, I don't know this guy. Like, you know, leave me alone. But then the kids, you'll be like, yeah, well, he also does Chip Skylark. And they're like, what?
Oh, right, right, right.
Chip Skylark? Like, and I'm like, yeah, but I was in a band. I don't know if you know. They're like, no, we don't care about the band. You were Chip Skylark?
Mm-hmm.
So it actually became something really cool. And, you know, Butch Hartman.
Yeah, you found a way to bridge the gaps. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's great, yeah, man.
Exactly. So I kind of like Kiss, except cartoon style.
Right. So it was just kind of happenstance that happened, because it was like, it wasn't like something that they like, you know, like a intended to approach you on. It was like you kind of just met them randomly, and then that's how it kind of came out.
Yeah, just had to spark the conversation of how much I like the cartoons,
so cool,
and that
see?
Type of stuff. And that kind of that's what kind of sucks about like not living in LA though, you know, because when you're in LA, that stuff happens all the time. You know, you're always around all those people, and you know, you just don't you don't get. I mean, here I love Nashville. And I would definitely stay here because I love the music scene. I love the people. I love the city, everything about it. But, you know, just when you're there every day, somebody's like, hey, you know, I've been working on this thing. You know, why don't you try out? And I like to just do. You know,
yeah, right.
I'm
exactly.
down for having fun and trying new stuff. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I you know, I kind of like moved away from LA into Dallas. Like, it's been a little over a year now. And you're right. Yeah, I mean, you kind of forget that's a part of, you know, being out and about in LA. You kind of always run into people, and you always sort of just make those weird little connections sometimes that you definitely don't really get out here or in Nashville either. You know. Mm-hmm. Maybe more so a little bit more music wise, but as far as like Hollywood stuff, not as much.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. I don't know. I think probably Alex probably had more stuff that he was gonna ask you, and
hey, listen,
we just
you
keep
guys,
like cutting them.
You guys are pretty much talking, and this is again, this is, you know, Chris. I tell this to Steve all the time. You know, he has a lot of friends in the industry like yourself. You know, a lot of people that, you know, I'm in my mid-30s that I happen to just watch and imitate. I imitated him learning his body moves. I imitated you learning how to sing. You know, so all of that stuff like that. Just you know, I like hearing the stories. But I do have a question. After you transitioned into the whole world of cartoons and stuff like that, did you what started you? Did you want to start your own group or anything after NSYNC? Is there any like your music? Where did you want to take it? Like, where did you go? Like, you know, that was such a big part of the identity of who you were, right? And what you took with you everywhere. So how do you separate that without it being something where like you just don't want to talk about it anymore, but it's still a big part of your life?
No, funny enough, it's very, you know, Power Rangers like. You know, to me, you know, the band was the product of the five individuals. You know, it was it was the collective together. Now there were, you know, I mean, Justin is Justin, and he always had that talent. JC is JC. He's always had that talent. But, you know, my talent was I sang really high and, you know, could sing every harmony or every part. So, you know, you can't come out and do a record as a guy that does harmonies. You know, it was kind of tough. It was tough finding a place. And, You know, I've still done a lot of writing and producing, and, you know, I'm still in the studio, but as for, you know, I've got, you know, little records, you know, I've got a band with a really great friend of mine, Mike Bosch, and, you know, him and I worked a long time together with, you know, producing other people's records, writing our own music. The best thing was transitioning out of the band. I knew that it wasn't going to be the Chris Kirkpatrick show type thing. You know, I knew it was going to be, you know, I would do writing music or, you know, perform with people or whatever. And, you know, it became something that I really loved. Like sitting in the studio, you know, Mike and I would sit in there for, you know, days and days and write and produce. And every morning I had a studio in my house. So every morning I'd come down and Mike would drive over and we'd sit down there. And one day we're doing like a Ford, you know, commercial. One day we're doing, producing some hip hop band, new country artist. So it was really, you know, it took that 9 to 5 to like a new level of enjoyment, because I knew I couldn't come into a desk every day and, you know, stamp papers or do whatever. I loved the fact that I'd go down and I'd be like, okay, Mike, I've got this today. Or he'd come in and be like, all right, we've got this today. This is what we're going to work on. And you get to explore your, you know, just what you know in the genres of music and really kind of learn. You know, I really learned more than I did, you know.
Right.
That's we really did a lot, but the whole process of learning it was amazing.
For sure. And I don't think people truly like understand, and like you know, like if you love music or whatever, and unless you're a musician, you don't really understand like how integral like the producer is to the sound and the music, and you know, putting that all together. I mean, they're the real genius like behind all the music that you hear, and you know, so to be doing that, you know, I think it's probably like probably the most important part of it. Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you agree on that? Or
me? Or
Chris, sorry.
I mean, that's, you know, it's always, there's somebody that was real important to us though, was this lady, Robin Wiley. Mm-hmm. And she was our vocal coach. And that was because she wasn't just a vocal coach. She'd lived in Nashville and she was a writer, a composer, an arranger, all these things. And, you know, she's the one that said, you know, when we were singing and stuff, you know what, why don't you two switch parts here? And she would find, like, we had a record called I Thought She Knew, which, if you ask any of the guys, the best, our favorite record that we've ever cut was this record that she wrote, and we did it a cappella. And it was just, I mean, 5-part harmonies the whole way through, and just the key changes and the chord changes and the progressions were just so unbelievable. But that's what, you know, so with her, with us, it was a vocal coach as well as producers like, you know, of course, Max Martin, Rami, all these guys that, you know, we actually worked with Richard Marx and, you know, people like that are just amazing, amazing musicians, you know, not just, you know, Richard Marx is a great singer songwriter, but he's an amazing artist. Like when he writes and what he does is just like, you know, we just sit there in awe of it. So it's real important to your sound and to what you're doing, the producer for sure.
I definitely could imagine that. Well, that's cool, man. I mean, I think it's sort of just like the natural evolution, I would imagine, for somebody like yourself who's like behind the mic to get behind the board. You know what I mean? Like, and just eventually, you know. But I like that you feel like the person that was your vocal coach almost goes like also like a producer as well. I think that's pretty cool. Because it wasn't necessarily like, you know, what you were expecting, you know, because you kind of expect that from the producer and not necessarily from that vocal coach. But that's dope, man.
Yeah. So here's another question. I got a couple, actually. People are going crazy on the chat.
We've been ignoring all the people that have probably been asking questions like crazy. Let's hit some of the fans have been saying.
Yeah, for sure. So here's two questions. Here's one that I wanted to ask, and then I'm going to just... if you mentioned before that the whole like Power Rangers and NSYNC thing kind of like went hand in hand.
It's a good analogy.
If you were a Power Ranger, which one would you be?
Oh, come on. You know what I got to say there. I got to say Red Ranger, baby.
Yeah, right, right. That's cool. He's doing that because I'm on the show. When next week when he's on, you know, one of the other Ranger shows, he's gonna say that color.
No, before a couple years ago, I would have said Black Ranger.
Nice.
I mean, that's cool.
I don't mind bias at all, man. It's cool. I appreciate that.
That's what's cool about the Rangers, though, too. When you watch, it's like, you know, there's something about all you guys, you know, and again, you can kind of assimilate it to us. There's something, we're all different, you know, we're all very diverse personality. And, you know, it was very interesting. Now, your rollerblading skills on the other hand, I don't know about, you know, I think I was a better rollerblader than you, but
well, there's absolutely no question about it that you're a better rollerblader than me because I don't rollerblade at all.
Oh my God.
Of course it was a stunt double.
Jump out of a plane and then just jump on rollerblades.
And that's cool. I mean, the action pack throughout the whole movie was cool, but the thing is, I didn't know how to do half that stuff, you know? They had to give us lessons on how to do some of it. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to skate downstairs backwards. You know, that ain't happening. So, you know, they ended up like getting doubles that look like us to do that stuff. And, I know as disappointing as that sounds, but you know,
solidifies that I'm a better rollerblader.
Yeah, 1,000%, dude. I say everyone's a better rollerblader than me, like hands down, you know?
Here's a question I have from the chat that I continue seeing over and over again is, if you ever were to, I mean, you know, never say never, but if you ever were to reunite and do any kind of tour, would you ever consider doing something with like the Backstreet Boys or anything like that where you guys do it together? I know Backstreet Boys just had one with New Kids on the Block, right?
New Kids, yeah.
Yeah, so would it be something that like, would it ever be possible in any time, anything like that? Like, I'm pretty sure you've heard that question a million times.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, obviously there's nothing happening. And, you know, there's been a lot of different talks about different things, but, you know, I think we wouldn't leave anything off the table. You know, there's always, you never know. And, you know, the Backstreet Boys are a band that I love to make fun of and I love to talk shit about, but I love them. You know,
right.
It's like they're great guys. They're a great band, but it's just, you know, in our nature that we have to talk shit and just kind of, you know.
Yeah.
In actuality, though, the crazy thing is the rivalry was really the fans.
Yeah, like, of course.
Like, you know, all the time. I've always been, Howie and I went to school together. So I've known Howie longer than I've known, you know, all the guys in my band, basically. And so, you know, Howie's one of the sweetest guys on the planet. I've always been friends with Nick. AJ and I had a little beef for a little while, but it was stupid beef. And you know, now AJ is one of my, you know, best friends on the planet. I love that kid too. So even like 90 Degrees, we love all those guys. There was never really any animosity. There was always competition. You look at it as two football teams where you see the guys, you know, talking trash to each other on the field and whatever. But afterwards they go up, hey man, good game. Cause there was competition, but it wasn't personal. It wasn't ever, you know, anything that we ever, you know, really disliked anybody for. So
except, you know, All for One.
All for One. No, we went on tour with those guys.
I'm kidding, man. I love those guys.
What about Old Town?
O-Town, I'm actually really good friends with all of O-Town.
Get out of here. Wow.
I don't think there was some weird beef kind of with, have you ever heard of the band Five?
Yes. Yeah.
They were like a UK band. You'll hear about them in a little while, buddy.
Oh, Brian. yeah.
I mean, for whatever reason, I'm just saying. You know, they were kind of snotty. We did a tour with them in the UK and we were with the 98 Degrees as well, and they were just kind of like, you know, forget these American bands that are on this, whatever.
Right.
I'm like, you know, whatever, dude. I was like, you shouldn't be talking. You can talk shit to us all you want, but I'm gonna be talking about 98 Degrees. I was like, those guys can bench dump trucks. Like, it's
exactly.
Those are some tough mofos right there.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, and also I also wanted to ask you about Gone Country. You were on that. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was actually a precursor to me moving to Nashville. I mean, it was kind of funny because I did it here and I did that like 12 years ago. And when I was here for it, I was like, man, Nashville is a cool town. I was like, but I couldn't live here. I'm like, there's no way I could live here. And then about 4 years ago, my wife and I were like, let's get out of Orlando. Let's move. She's like, where? I'm like, let's move to Nashville. I was like, I can work there. You know, she can find work here. It'll be perfect. And, you know, never look back. And it's been an amazing thing, but it was a cool introduction because I used to come up to Nashville and write, but you know, it was different because I didn't really, I'd go out a little bit here and there, but it was mostly writing the entire time. Whereas when I did the show, you know, I made a lot of really cool friends from Nashville and a lot of great people here that I still keep in touch with. And, you know, I get to do a lot of country stuff that now I do every day.
Nice, man.
That's awesome, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Steve.
I thought you were going to say something.
I'm like, oh,
no,
wait.
I was kind of wondering because I know some of the fans are probably asking about this too. In there, it's like maybe give us like one funny story or one funny like anecdote from like when you guys were on tour and stuff like that. You know, because I mean, obviously going around all these different, you know, being these young 21, 22 year old guys, you know, bouncing around all these places all around the world and all around the country and just like getting like massive, you know, adoration from everyone, you know, everywhere you went and all the parties and stuff after. I'm sure there's got to be some funny shit that happened, you know. Maybe you could tell us one little funny story if anything pops to your head.
I think a ton of it was mostly in Europe, you know. I mean, it was...
Oh, okay.
Especially at that time, there was... You know, I was like 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Joey was like... Maybe I was 24. Joey was like 20, 21. And, you know, Justin was only... If I was 24, 25, Justin would have been 14, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Or so... So, and Lance would have been 16 and JC would have just been old enough too. But,
wow.
You know, it was really, when we'd go over there, I know there was I probably never slept. Like I probably went like 8 months without sleeping because we would do, you know,
when in Rome, literally.
Yeah. 6 a.m. interviews till noon, take a quick lunch break from like 1 to 5. You'd do photo shoots. Then you'd have a show at 7 or a radio show. Then you'd go do radio promo after that, meet with the label at the hotel. And then we get done with dinner at like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And, you know, first time in Europe or first time being over there, Joey and I are like, let's go. Like, let's figure out what's going on. Grab a security guard.
Exactly.
Go to a club, go party and party till 5 o'clock in the morning, wake up at 6 and do it all over again. Like, you know, there were some times, but luckily I was young. Today, there's no way
you could do that. Yeah.
In hell I could do that. But then, you know, it was, we'd pop back up like nothing was wrong. And I've done shows with hangovers. I've done shows like, you know, miserable, but it was fun. And it was, I got to do, here I was performing, you know, for a living. But funny stories would probably, I mean, there was everything. You see it from, you know, kids, like they would chase you. Like we'd be in our vans and they would just chase you. And we saw one kid on a bike. And I think he was like riding next to us. He went to ride a wheelie and his front tire just kept going. And he was up in the air with like no front tire, just smacked. And you'd see girls that were running after you and they're just watching you. So they'd be hitting cars or hitting
street. Oh, right. Not paying attention to their surroundings. Not
paying attention where they're going.
Yeah.
And, but girls would sneak on like the luggage, the conveyor belts in the airports or hide in the hotel rooms. And to this day, I still, when I walk into a hotel room, I always go in and just check the curtain. I mean, I know there's nothing there, but just
psychologically. Just a little force of habit. Yeah.
Just in case something happens. So it was, dude, you know, it was mostly weird stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, that's, we never got that. Cause all of our fans were like little kids. You know what I mean? If we ever saw them face to face, they'd be like hiding behind their mom's skirt. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a different dynamic. You know what I mean? There was nobody hiding behind my curtains. You know?
it is always weird though, to see that, like, especially at the time, you know, when you're on top of the world or something. And, you know, I'd be out doing something and you'd turn a corner and run into a kid that was just like diehard fan. And just that moment of them just completely losing their shit.
Right.
Like when I say losing their shit, I mean, like, they don't know if they're a human being at that point. It's just like, you know, like they're,
yeah.
Those were always fun and definitely humbling. Like, you know, it's really no big deal.
Of course, I'm
a poor kid from a trailer. Like, why are you going crazy over me?
Yeah, that's crazy, and you know what? And it's cool because now we kind of get to relive a bit of that too, as well, with all the convention stuff that we do, which is a lot of fun. And
for sure.
You know, it's always a good way, you know, just for people to kind of like express, you know, their adoration. You know, when people come up and go, dude, you were like such a great part of my childhood. Thank you so much. You know, when they come up and say that kind of stuff to you, you know,
circling back around too, like what we were talking about each other, you know, there's still, you know, you go to the cons and like,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, with you, you know, I'm friends with you. Like, did I ever in a million years think I would be friends with the Red Power Ranger? You know,
and vice versa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really cool. It's like, it's one of those things that you get, like, you know, Ralph Macchio's, you get these guys that, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and I'm sure you were too, because I'm sure, I don't know if you were into martial arts as much as, you know, I was into martial arts, but obviously because of the Rangers, I assumed you were, and, you know,
100%, man. It's like, what got me started on the show.
Martial arts was my thing. Like, I took every martial art you could imagine. When I grew up, I used to go to the hair guy. When I get my hair cut, he's like, how do you want your hair cut? And I'd always bring a different picture of Bruce Lee in, you know, like this. And he goes, that
big old shaggy bowl cut.
Buzz looking box cut. But, you know, to get to meet like all your idols and people you grew up with. And you know, like I said, with Ralph Macchio, and I wanted to be the Karate Kid. And, you know, how many times are you telling
my story, dude. Yeah, I don't, you probably don't know this, but you're telling my exact story, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a lot of us. That's really, you know, we really, I mean, I was a guardian angel, you know. I don't know if you know what the guardian angels
are. Yes, I know the guardian angels, man. Yeah, that is old school, dude.
I was
neighborhood patrol with their berets, man. That's just crazy, dude. Berets,
Curtis Sliwa.
Wow, man.
Damn it. Like, I was into martial arts, and I really, you know, any chance I got, I wanted to learn and really be around it. I was into MMA when, you know, it was
before Hoist it was Gracie. Like MMA. Yeah.
Yeah. When it was Hoist Gracie and Ken.
Yeah.
Shamrock,
oh yeah. Me too, man. Guys. Yeah. I remember, man.
I was nuts. It's
so fun. Like, I got to meet Hoist Gracie. You know, lost my shit. You know, it's still
I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well, and I've trained with all those guys, you know.
No kidding.
I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for like 17 years. Yeah.
Damn, I wanna teach me some Brazilian.
Dude, absolutely, man. That'd anytime, awesome. Man. Absolutely.
Well, you hit them up and you give them some great vocal notes to hit, you know, so we need an intro song here for the show.
You do not have to reciprocate by giving me any. I'll not torture you with my singing, I promise you. But I was hoping that you'd come back again another time and do some more with this. Maybe next time what we could do is we'll get Joey to come on with us too, and we'll just then we'll make it a big trivia. We'll do like a we'll dedicate like a whole good like 10 minutes of it to like some trivia stuff.
I'll kick Joey's ass at you. He's on a show, Common Knowledge, too. He hosts a real game show.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Really go crazy and do like some 80s trivia. He was alive in the 80s.
Yeah, cool.
Do some 80s trivia, do some 90s trivia, do some 2000s.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we like. That's what we usually do is we do like general knowledge, like 80s, 90s questions on this thing. But yeah, so maybe we'll reach out together. Maybe we'll reach out to Joey and see if we can get him on here another time. But everyone, sorry about the technical difficulties there at the end. But on behalf of myself and my co-host Alex, we really want to thank Chris for coming on, man. Dude, you're a legend, bro. You're a fucking legend, dude. And we really appreciate you, bro, for coming on and doing our little show like this, man. So as always, man, may the power protect you guys. And stay safe out there. Thanks a lot.
Bye, guys.